Okay, I find that we need to meet for the last time before we go to the church. So that we also our constitution has something to say to our people. Okay, I'm very proud of this opening. Welcome, adoption of the agenda. Then we'll deal with apologies. Then we'll come to the presentations. And the DTI will lead us on that one. And then we will have a closing remarks, and then we have a way forward, and then we go for Easter weekend. So on those, I will request that I get the adoption of the agenda. Members, can you adopt the agenda before us? Okay. Seconded by Honor. All right, thanks. And then in our attendance from DTI, I am told Honorable is Honorable E.S. Jason Albert. Yes. No, he's very old, that one. Albert is Mbuyane and Kachalia. With me is Tenda and Margot. And then in attendance from DGI. Yeah, I'll request the DDG. Because they just indicated names and I can't thumbs up who's chief director, who's DDG, who's what. Oh, here's the right one. Maratenda, what's happening with you? Okay. Deputy Director General Evelyn Masocha, Meshendri Patayaja, Deputy Director, IP and Commercial Law, Dr. Maria Rianonyana Makaban, Chief Director, Legislative Drafting, Kosinati Mkonza, who was there at the back, okay. And then Pregoria, yeah, this one I know, my boss. I'll ask Ms. Fabs to call it Pregoria, move on. Muvango, Director Legislative Drafting. Mr. Karipeche, Senior Manager Copyright. Okay. And then occasionally, you see Manjin. Maberimisa, who's Rejoice Maberimisa? Not yet, no? Okay, that's fine. No? Oh, have I left out? Is someone that I left here? Yeah, there's one handsome gentleman that I left out here.
Lloyd Matimbe.
Okay. And the last one?
My name is Sibuila Mazanzi. I write for PMG.
PMG. Oh, yeah, the one who was going to report the attendance or not. We are going to throw you away also today. I'm joking. And the lighter note. Apologies? No apologies. I think there's no one in us except the DG. What's happening with the DG? Okay, okay. So based on that, you'll be acting. Saroj, you're welcome. And
also from the advocate, Rory Bola, from the
commissioner. Okay. Okay. Today, because I don't want to be rude, that's why I'm. Otherwise, I'll be saying, okay, I'm not taking any apology for it because I haven't received one. But today I'm connected, I'm bathing, so it must show that I'm growing up. Members, today we meet after we have deliberated on the matter and say we need to start with the. We grouped our items accordingly and. Someone is sitting next to me and my papers now are upside down. We requested the DTI last on basis on the CRC Commission and we received on the amendments on the, and then we agreed that we will focus on the CRC Commission. But however, members must be taken on board on exactly what is the problem and what exactly is happening and the best way to assist our people, because as much as we are here, we know there's something that is wrong with this copyright. Somehow people are being denied their their rights. So today the reason we are here is for us to receive a briefing from the DTI based on the policy issues relating to collecting societies, and for us to take us on board on how many, what is happening, exactly what is happening there. So we have rearranged as a subcommittee, so I'll request them the next time so that members are given exactly the program as it is, to say these are the groups that we are focusing on. We have rearranged everything, and by rearranging, meaning today we are starting with number 7 according to the group from group 1, and we have mixed group 1 and group 2. So that's why we need to rearrange and put it in order, and then you send it to members. You email it to members. I think that way it would be fine. Number 3, today we're meeting. It's the first discussion area, the group 1 discussion item, which is collective society. There are many items that we're going to discuss, summoning everybody to come. So if you have presented to us, we will also be requested again to present to the PC. This is a subcommittee. So you might be expected again to go and present to the mother PC, because they will need information. The way we have received information, they'll also be given an opportunity to receive that information. So, but you must go there, you know, having to be able to say, as a subcommittee we met, and then this is the situation, and this is how best you can. You have advised us to deal with the matter. Today is the 28th. That's when we are discussing the DTI on the policy issue and the CIPC. Then also this thing of treaty and everything, I think you still have to, I've received a letter from the DG on how the process will unfold. We'll also have to discuss on our next meeting, because there are issues that we need to clarify and to say this one we can give you, go ahead. Here we're not agreeing with you. We must put this on hold. So it will be pending the engagement with the PC of the trade and industry. So based on that, I was welcoming everybody and outlining why are we here and the process to move forward, and so that everybody, so that we don't say I'm new. I'm also new, but this new thing must come to an end. I need to know to deal with issues straight, directly, and not keep on saying I'm new in the committee, I don't know what's happening. So now I'm here to get information and to be equipped and to know what is happening. I'm not taking any decision. If I don't understand, I'll try to go back, make me understand, and so that I'm able to, as someone who's dealing with law, I'm able to make a right choice. Once the copyright is out, I don't want those things of saying we have redrafted the wrong thing again. So this is the second time. So it should end the last time. This must go out. There are 4 bills that we must deal with as DTI. This is one of them. And before May must end, this thing must be tabled. So you'll be expected to work day and night. You'll be crying. You won't be laughing one day here. So you must understand. It's not that we're under pressure. We just have to work this thing and submit it, take it out of our hands. And then I think because I'm a woman, I'll request your support so that at least a bill be presented by one of us here. Since, she was chairing, and this is the bill, the copyright, so it's a bonus to me. I think Honorable, you are agreeing with me, it will be a bonus to say at least one woman from the subcommittee came up with a bill in time. So based on those words, can DDG lead us on this item, please? Which one? I was just marketing myself. So. DDG.
Please take us to those tickets. Thank you so much, President, and honorable members. My colleague,
Yes, thank you so much, Chairperson, honorable members, and my colleagues. I'm going to take you through the presentation that we have prepared as the DTI, as a collective. We will outline policy matters, and then CIPC will also join in on the presentation from their implementation side. We received a letter from the subcommittee outlining the areas that we need to focus on for today. So today we are here to brief the subcommittee on the regulation of collecting societies and matters and other matters connected thereto. And maybe just to get straight into the presentation, there is legislation on the collecting societies. It's not a new concept, and there is work that is taking place around this area. CIPC is also very involved in the collecting societies, and there are regulations that were promulgated in 2006. The CRC process, the report, was initiated to just look at the whole area of collecting societies and to check where are the gaps. So it strengthens the issues that can be added into the effectiveness of the governance of the collective societies. So it's not a new process. There is something, but then it's an enhancement that these recommendations are going to introduce. And just as a recap, I'm going to also go back to the recommendations that were made in the CRC just to give a framework of where we are coming from. So one of the first areas is to say that we need to amend the legislation by adapting the right of artists to communicate literary and musical works to the public, and the right to make available copies of sound recordings. It's one of the areas where there's a gap currently. And another area is to allow the registrar to take over the administration of any relevant collecting society, and also to allow that the collecting society have a set of rights with regard to all rights governed by the legislation, and these rights include performance rights, needle time, and mechanical rights. And also another recommendation is to allow for all music rights of the collecting societies to fall within the ambit of the regulations issued under the Act. And also the retention of music usage information to be compulsory for essential music users. Also to amend the legislation to engage the Copyright Tribunal in disputes about the appropriate tariffs to be applied. And also another recommendation is that needle time be divided equally between the owners of the copyright in the sound recordings and the owners of the neighboring right to needle time. And also to include a section modeled on the U.S. Copyright Act, which provides for the reversion of assigned rights 25 years after the copyright came into existence. And other recommendations are more on the definitions of local music contained in the Electronic Communications Act, and that the scope should be enlarged, and to adapt the right to communicate to the public and make available the right as two new exclusive rights of the owners. Also, what we are saying is that the amendments that are made to the Act in terms of collective management music royalties and are a direct result of the recommendations, meaning that what we have right now in front of us with the bill was mainly informed by the Copyright Review Commission report. And the CIPC, as the enforcement agency, is responsible for the implementation of these recommendations or the proposed recommendations going forward. And what we're also saying is that in terms of the registrar of copyright, the registrar is responsible for the registering, accrediting, and the regulation of these societies, which may include the approval of distribution plans and dispute settlements through the current tribunal. And the report recommended that the CIPC, through the registrar, assume all the administration of the copyright societies. The CS is collecting societies, that was just to say, and not merely the removal of the accreditation as under the current act, and this we support as the DTI. And so basically with this we are saying that the bill will support the recommendations of the report, and that it will also strengthen the role of the CIPC in terms of the societies. There are some, on slide 7, there are some collecting societies that were accredited, and they include the South African Performance Rights Association, SAMPRA, which is responsible for the copyright owners of sound producers entitled to issue licenses. It also collects royalties, and it distributes them to its members, but it has no responsibility towards performers. We have the South African Music Rights Organization, SAMRO, which is responsible for composers, lyricists, and publishers. We have the Composers, Authors, and Publishers Association, CAPASO. It is a mechanical rights agency which collects and distributes royalties to its members. That includes music publishers and composers. And we have the Performance Organization of South Africa, POSA, Trust. This one, I'll check with CIPC, they'll clarify us in terms of whether their status is still functional or not. And then the South African Recording Rights Association for Composers and Publishers, which was liquidated in 2009. With this slide, basically what we are saying is that there is work that has happened with this collecting societies, and they are in existence, they are functional with challenges that they are having. And they have been, with the existing legislation, they have been put in place, and they do have members in place. And what we also want to say is that, as part of the background, is that the bill provides for the accreditation and registration of the societies, and allows the registrar to take over the administration. We also require for them to adhere to good corporate governance principles and comply with the regulations. This has been one of the areas that has been strongly flagged in the CRC report, to say that corporate governance is a problem, and also the fact that because of these challenges, the artists, they end up being disadvantaged. And also that these collecting societies, they act as agents for copyright holders, and it is proposed that the rights of copyright holders remain with them, and the holders should receive royalties from whomever exploits their rights. And Chair, in terms of the specific areas that you've highlighted for us to look into, one of them is the issue of freedom of association. And what we are saying as a DTI on freedom of association is that with regards to this area, we are saying that freedom of association with regard to collection of royalties is not impaired, as the CRC did not make it compulsory for artists to be part of a collecting society in order to get their royalties. So therefore, artists who wish to administer the collection of royalties for the use of their work can do so using contract. So the artists have a right to their freedom of association. But currently, the many artists, the artists who are not members of this association. And another thing, now I'm moving to collecting rights. In terms of the collecting rights on slide 10, we are saying that we propose the amendment of legislation to allow one collecting society per set of rights as per the recommendation. And also that for one collecting society for mechanical rights is due to the confusion around certain collecting societies' repertoires arising as a result of the overlapping membership between organizations. And we are also saying that this approach would assist the artists greatly by providing certainty to them on who is collecting and which royalty is being collected. It will further assist in addressing the problem of the societies collecting for artists not registered under them. And in terms of the collecting society still, we are also saying that there are other areas in copyright that do not have collecting societies. For instance, in the area of visual arts, the artist resale rights that are copyright based. Most significantly, it is important for purposes of consistency and legal certainty to have collecting societies for the different segments of the industries. Copyright-based industries requested that their sectors be allowed to have a collecting society, and similar provisions, if not the same, can be used to regulate these collecting societies. And we are saying that the new areas requiring a form of collective management, the royalty streams are not many, and therefore one collecting society can collect for their set of rights. For the artist resale right, for example, there's only royalty stream linked to the resale of the work. And in terms of the audiovisual sector, the royalty stream will stem from the four economic rights in the Beijing Treaty for audiovisual performances and replace the two existing rights. In this sector, no one is collecting, save for one individual who assists some performers in collecting their repeat fees from the broadcaster. This leaves out many who have no assistance. So there is a gap for the subsectors that do not have collecting societies. There was another question asked about the indigenous knowledge around the collecting societies. And we have an intellectual property laws amendment that was promulgated in 2013 called IPLA, and it provides for the protection of indigenous work through the IP system to prevent misappropriation. But the act is not in force currently. The current system of the collective management for music is applicable to songs that are indigenous because copyright is part of the IPLA. We know about, we have many indigenous artists who sing traditional music. I think this will apply to them. The CRPC also will need to advise on how collection may occur in the interim, because if this area is not properly regulated, there is a gap there that can be... we haven't applied ourselves in terms of how, but I think it's an area that we can work on. This should be limited to music, as the IPLA provides for its own mechanisms of protection. Any amendment made by the Copyright Act will form part of the IPLA, but it's not dependent on IPLA being enforced. And also with regard to the maximum period that a collecting society may retain royalties before distributing them, this can be expressed by taking into account that Section 22B5 of the Copyright Amendment Bill provides that the registration of certificate of a collecting society is valid for a period not exceeding 5 years. Therefore, it can be deduced from the above-mentioned section that a collecting society has a maximum period of 5 years. So we are proposing 5 years. In the CRC, SAMRO, one of the collecting society, explains that after 3 years, the unclaimed royalties are written back to income and distributed to the members based on the normal distribution criteria. And we are saying that this provision is to ensure that monies are not left for years without distribution, or that distribution occurs timelessly to the correct recipients. And this is one of the mechanisms to ensure that the correct recipients receive the correct distribution. And it's one of the findings of the report that the practice of distributing unclaimed royalties has been found to be a problematic area. And then another area is around the administration fees. On the administration fees, we are saying that there's a need to prescribe a maximum administration fee as per the CRC report. And we have found that collecting societies like SAMRO were retaining 30% in administration fees. And this 30%, according to best practices, is quite a large amount. And then the report also provided that the cost to royalty income ratio, which is the administration cost, as a percentage of total collections for them, in terms of the international benchmark, ranges between 10% and 24%, bearing in mind that the maximum allowable is 20% in terms of the current local regulation for needle time. And collecting societies therefore retain 30% for themselves, And what we are saying is that capping it at 20% is reasonable and in line with other jurisdictions. And it will ring fence the administration fees, which caps unneeded profits, whereby a portion could rather be used to assist the industry. So we are also supporting that the amount should be lowered to, the administration fees should be made low. And furthermore, in terms of reporting on royalties, we are saying that regarding the need to report, to prescribe that they be reporting by users in order to facilitate royalty payments, the CRC report noted that music logsheets are kept mainly by broadcasters and that general music users tend not to retain any logsheets, and that collecting societies are therefore not able to accurately distribute royalties based on music usage. And in cases where there are no logsheets, these societies use the available usage information as a mechanism for distributing unlocked royalties. And furthermore, some of the submissions to the commission requested an amendment to the legislation to force every music user to retain cue sheets in order to eliminate the above-mentioned problem. And we are saying that this is critical as the collecting societies must have systems in place to capture correct data in the long term, and the latter will ensure payment of royalties to correct recipients. And we also say that there may be a need to prescribe the reporting to facilitate royalty payments and also for consistency and transparency. There might be a need to have this reporting on the royalties. And on that note, I will request my colleagues from CRPC to also come in from their perspective.
Thank you very much, DDG. And thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for giving CIPC an opportunity just to share with you some of the areas that are covered in the collecting societies. Some of the things that I'm going to say have already been covered, but I'll try to give them a practical perspective because we are dealing with implementation in this area. So I will talk about some of the things that were raised in the letter so that I do not address things that are not relevant to the members of this subcommittee. We will try to give our view on whether freedom of association vis-a-vis one collecting society. We'll also say something around extending the CRC recommendations, whether it's viable to extend it beyond the music sector. We'll also give a view whether there is a possible or a need for possible inclusion of indigenous knowledge works. We'll also say something around whether there is a need for prescribed administration fees by the collecting society. And lastly, we'll also say something about whether there is a need for the collecting societies to finish usage on musical works. But just before we go into the issues raised in the letter, I think we thought it will just be important just to throw some of the issues that are very important in the collective management of rights so that the members can take note of those aspects. For a collecting society to run efficiently and effectively, it must have the capacity to license the rights. It must have human resources that are knowledgeable in this area so that they can, on a continuous basis, maximize the commercialization of the rights entrusted to them by the members so that they can collect as many royalties as possible for the benefit of their members. But again, it's also very important for collecting society to have the capacity to collect once they have licensed, because today's business models depend much on technology, and technology can be used to collect much of royalties by the collecting society. Then another important area which the collecting society must improve on is to distribute royalties to the right beneficiaries. And you can only do that if you have a data on usage. Otherwise, if you don't have a data on usage, you are likely to be arbitrary in terms of identifying the beneficiaries. So data is very, very, very important. In today's business models, technology is available which can be relied on when musical works and sound recording are used. In other jurisdictions, we have seen collecting societies covering the costs on music usage rather than relying on the users to provide data. So it's an area that we can also discuss and see whether the collecting society can cover that cost. I think it's also very important for collecting society at all material times to demonstrate transparency and accountability on how they execute their duties, because collecting societies are just agencies. Whatever they do, they should do it for the benefit of the members, which are the right holders. We have been advised that internationally, when a collecting societies are effective and efficient, they must always have a zero balance after distribution, because they will be having a data which they can rely on to distribute. But again, it's also very important for collecting society to have a legislation or a copyright legal framework that is very conducive for them, so that that legislation is able to provide a ground that is fertile for the business of collective management of rights to flourish. So we believe that as a country, if we can come up with a legislation that is very good, it will be able to make the conducive very, very, very beneficial for all the collecting societies and the right holders in this business of music. We participated in the Copyright Review Commission somewhere in 2010 and 2011. In fact, the CRC was in fact triggered by some of the practical challenges that we encountered. And we approached our principals to say, as we are implementing this system of natural time, these are the practical challenges that require us to look into so that we can perfect the system. And then that's when the commission was established by the department. And much of the focus area during the Copyright Review Commission, it was the area of whether we should have one collecting society per right. This was triggered by the fact that at that time we were having some prior as the collecting societies for Section 9 rights, and we're also having at that time SAMRO as a collecting society for the same right. These collecting societies were operating differently, even though the revenue stream was one. So they did not even share the same developmental goal. They did not even share the same interests. And we have seen them litigating against each other when the distribution was due at that time. So indeed, we then advised that maybe one collecting society per right is the way to go. Because if these rights are administered under one collecting society, you will have a situation whereby the owners of sound recording are equally represented in the management structure of that collecting society in the same manner as the performers would be equally represented. And they can start to treat these rights in the same manner, because they will be the beneficiaries of that right. We also believe that if we have more than one collecting society per right, there is a likelihood that the consumers, which are the users, they might resist. to pay more than one collecting society per ride. So we thought one collecting society per ride is easy and it can build confidence within the users because they can believe that in this area of ride we are dealing with one collecting society. But we have also seen in other jurisdictions where collecting societies administering different rides do what we call joint licensing so that they do not individually approach a user time again, but they do joint licensing. But joint licensing should not be confused with joint collecting societies. We also observed that when the composers, performers, and owners of sound recording are in one collecting society, there is a likelihood for them not to share the same interest and developmental goals. Because sometimes you will find a composer also being an owner of sound recording. And when some of the issues are raised in the collecting society, they are likely to check whether that issue favors them as composers or as owners of sound recording, and they might pursue a different view and cause chaos in that collecting society. So therefore, we strongly believe that one collecting society per ride is the way to go. And this was not arbitrarily chosen. It was chosen with a thorough engagement of the industry in 2010 and 2011 respectively. So we got a buy-in from them as well. Another challenge that we also encountered is that when you have right holders of different categories under one collecting society, we are likely to get a practical challenge in terms of tariff setting, where the court has not yet pronounced a tariff. Because they come from different backgrounds, they will advocate different tariffs. But if they all belong to the same category of rights, there is a likelihood that they can agree on the tariff that will be applicable. We have observed that. Now, another area which we believe we can also provide a view to the subcommittee is that indeed there is a need for collective management of rights in the audiovisual sector, because if you look at the current situation, the actors, they rely on contractual arrangement with the producers of audiovisual work. And we believe that collective management of rights will be a better mechanism that can be used in this area. We have seen actors complaining about how they are treated by the producers. They believe that the relationship with the producers is imbalanced because it relies on contractual arrangement. We believe that collecting societies in the area of audiovisual sector will be a better way to go, because the actors will earn royalty by statute. They are no longer going to rely on contractual arrangements. It will be treated in the same manner as the system that we are using in the area of natural time, where we'll have producers of audiovisual works and actors equally represented in the management structure of that collecting society, so that they can treat that business in the same manner as it's happening in the area of natural time. And it's also an opportunity for us, maybe as a country, once the collecting society are established in that area, to then fast track the issue of joining the Beijing Treaty, because it's a revenue stream that is available for our actors. It's a question of just tapping into it. But we can start to build that collecting society mechanism now and see how it goes. We did have some workshops with the audiovisual sector, and we have educated them about these rights, and they have grabbed that opportunity with both hands, because I remember DTI even organized an international workshop where people outside our borders came to South Africa just to share with us how they have approached these rights in their jurisdictions. So it is not something that has not been done. We have indeed engaged the sector. Then with regard to the period that the collective society should retain royalties before distribution, it is our view that we do have other legal instruments that prescribes when somebody is owing another. We have Prescription Act, which has a term of 3 years. It's also an act that can also be looked into so that we can just use it because it's already existing. But I think it's also important maybe just to engage the collecting societies themselves to find out whether prescribing will have an effect of hampering or hindering how they do business. Because at the end of the day, we do not want to legislate even in areas where it will have a negative impact of stifling their businesses. We want to make sure that at least on day-to-day basis, they are enabled to maximize these rights commercially, because the more they maximize them, the more the benefit will arise for the members of that collecting society, which are the right holders. We also know that collecting societies license users on different periods, and that could also pose a practical challenge if you just come up with a prescription that is not taking that into account. I've been advised that I skipped a slide on indigenous knowledge. I'll come to it after this one. My apology. We also advise that whatever legislation we come up with, it should be the one that promote where we come from as a country and the imbalances that do exist in the music sector. So it must, to a greater extent, address the imbalances of the past, but again, shape a way forward in terms of how this collecting society can continue to maximize the rights entrusted to them by the members. With regard to whether we can have collecting societies for indigenous knowledge works, we have an Act of Parliament that has been passed by the National Parliament, but that Act is not yet in force. And there is also a parallel bill that is with the Department of Science and Technology. So to date, we don't know whether the mandate will be with DTI or with DST, which is Department of Science and Technology. Once that has been sorted out, I think this issue can be revisited. But for now, it won't be possible because indigenous knowledge works are not protected works. They can only be part of copyright if somebody maybe used indigenous stuff to produce a song or a film, but indigenous knowledge works alone do not qualify as intellectual property. And I think that should be taken into account. So for now, I don't think it's the right time to even talk whether we can have collecting society on indigenous knowledge works. I do attend WIPO meetings. WIPO stands for World Intellectual Property Organization, where we discuss various topics of intellectual property, and indigenous knowledge is one of them. We are still engaged in trying to come up with an international legal instrument in that area. So we have not yet reached a consensus. The discussions are continuing, because sometimes it does not help to have a domestic legislation in the absence of international legal instruments. There is a likelihood that the national legal instrument will be weak if there is no international legal arrangement. So there should first be international legal arrangement, and then we cascade down to our national legislation, which will take into account our needs as a country. That is why sometimes there is some issues of sovereignty that we can enjoy as we craft our national legislation, because each and every country has its own domestic needs. And as we do that, we will take those things into account. And the discussion at WIPO has been going on since 2000. So maybe some of us will even resign or retire in government before we come up with a legal instrument in this area. But we continue to be optimistic that one day our indigenous treasures as a country will be protected. I've talked about whether DTI or DST will be given a mandate. We look forward for our principals to really guide us in this area. Regarding whether we should prescribe for reporting by users to facilitate royalty payment, I think this is an important aspect that we really need to deal with. But we have to be very careful, because in other jurisdictions, collecting societies are responsible for providing some mechanism to assist the users to provide data. I'm just imagining in South Africa, where we place that burden to somebody who is running a small business and playing music, who does not even have the technological means of providing that data, whether enforcement will be possible. I think we need to engage the collecting society and find out whether they can bear a cost in that regard, because if indeed they are going to maximize the rights entrusted upon them by the members, this cost could be affordable. In today's business models, we have technologies that can be plugged in various retailing stores that can report on music that has been consumed. And technology has always provided a reliable data. So we can encourage and invite the collecting society to buy into this idea. At implementation level, we did engage them, and I think it's just maybe for a house like this one to also keep on engaging them so that we can see whether they can cover this cost. Because if collecting society can cover this cost, it will be very easy and effective and efficient as well. It's also very, very important to emphasize that without data, there is no way in which distribution can take place. Otherwise, we see some arbitrariness in distribution if no accurate data is supplied. Because, simply put, it's just a question of finding out whether they played Brenda Fassie or Johnny Clegg. And technology can provide a reliable data in that regard. So it's very, very important to take the issue of data serious. But as we prescribe it, we should prescribe it appropriately, whether it should be the users or the collecting societies. But my view is that collecting societies are more appropriate to plug some technological means to have data reported. But it's up to this subcommittee to decide and engage the music industry as well. We have seen over time that collective management of rice through collecting society, they have the effect of unifying this fragmented sector of the creative industries. Because once the collecting, I mean the members are grouped under one collecting societies, they are more likelihood to start to pursue similar developmental interests and goals. They can even be developed by that collecting societies through educational programs. And we have also over time engaged with intellectual property organizations to come to South Africa and educate our musicians about the business of music. So that will continue, and the best way of doing that is for government to work closely with the collecting societies that are representing their members. Another area that I think we need to think carefully about how we craft legislation is the reciprocal agreements between collecting societies. Because you do not want to have a reciprocal agreement with foreign collecting societies, but at the end of the day, that agreement does not bring value to the members of the collecting societies in South Africa. We cannot have a situation where we have a one-way traffic of royalties. It has to be that dual benefit. So we need to come up with a legislation that will create value on how these reciprocal agreements are concluded by collecting societies. I'll give an example. We know for a fact that in the United States, the revenue stream is not similar to us. Now, imagine if we conclude a reciprocal agreement with the United States. They do not even play our music, but we play their music. So we are likely to see a one-way traffic of royalty, something that we just have to be conscious of. I think that was my last slide, Chairperson. Say it again. Yeah, let me just thank you for giving us the opportunity, because very often as implementers we don't get this opportunity, and I think it's very important for us just to share our views with the subcommittee.
Chair, that is our presentation. We are available for the questions.
Members, there is a presentation, and it was detailed, it was technical, it was like a lot of information at the same time. When I'm sharing, assist me here. Now I'm taking questions. I hear there's data, there's what, there's... I don't want to talk as a chair. I want to give members an opportunity to ask you questions, then you note it down, then you'll respond. So first, Honorable Kajalia, Honorable Mbuyane, Honorable Albert, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of one collecting society and the discussion between freedom of association, do you envisage any opt-out mechanism for people who want to negotiate their own contracts and collect their own monies, or voluntary sign up, either opt out or voluntary sign up, so that they, you know, because not everyone would want to be part of something that takes 20% of their income, and that right surely should be considered as an individual or a group's right that is performing. Secondly, in extending CRC recommendations beyond the music sector, I'd like details of which sectors do you envisage extending this into? I mean, for example, would it cover authors, writers of academic journals, and the same thing applies, the former question applies in terms of sign up or opt out, because many people in these areas have cogent contracts with publishers and the like who look after their works, and to have yet another layer of revenue extraction would leave them with very, very little. Thirdly, possible inclusion of indigenous knowledge works. Well, yeah, I mean, we need a proper definition of indigenous knowledge works, and I understand that WIPO is still deliberating on this, so we'll wait for that. And in terms of reporting of users, do you envisage only South African performers, performances or works being reported on, or is it, would we be monitoring international works and vice versa? Would we be monitoring international local usage beyond our borders? And what capacity and what mechanisms do we have to do this? That's it. Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me first acknowledge and also the presentation was very good, Chair. Well drafted and so forth. But I just want to check, Chairperson, whether do we have collecting society or we're envisaging to have one or what? Because really in terms of the presentation, it shows that there are some gaps in terms of the collecting society. And also it is not clear in terms of the impact whether one social collecting society vis-a-vis the other one, and what is the impact that one does to another, collective society. Because here in your presentation, there's page 7, Sambra, Simro, Kapaso, Bosa, Saral, and I don't know, because there's other one that I know called the Risa, and I'm not sure, hence that is why I'm saying I'm not sure whether they are collecting society or it's just written as the report. One other issue, Chair, I want to check collective management of rights. What exactly are you proposing here to say? Because collective society, one will collect for music, one will collect for recording, one. So I'm not so sure whether do we have all those collective society there, or we must be able to establish one which will be distributed according to the participation of this other rights. Because I heard they saying there are people from CIPC. Maybe a follow-up question, whether do we have collecting society? Are they registered with CIPC now? And what are their registration number? Because we must talk of people who are registered and they are on the database of the CIPC. And to say each collective society, how many members do they have? Or we must call them here, all the societies that you think are here, so that they can clarify themselves, because you cannot be a structure and you don't have membership. Because say you're saying whether the membership is like ups and downs, I'm not so sure. But in terms of the report, one collecting society has a lot of membership and the others. So that is what I wanted to check. And if you're saying covering cost of music usage. What does that mean? Because you also propose yourself that a system that can be able to check or maintain that consistently is the data or a technology that can be able to say you have played this music and this music was produced by who and who qualifies for the right in terms of the collective system. The one of registration, I think it's fine. The period before distributing, you say, where do we get that information? Because we must exactly know as to if Sampra collect, because there's Saral here, and there's money that has been charged according to the report from Saral, that the royalties money was used to manage for management and running of companies. What about the members? The members of this collecting society. I'm not so sure because whether we still have to do with this other one of local content and what, I'm not so sure, but I'll get it from the presentation, or the chairperson will give guidance. Sure. I spoke about the overlapping membership, as you said. Each society has got overlapping membership. So chairperson earlier on alluded to us being new in the committee. I'm not so sure whether chairperson is aware of a needle time. If chairperson can be able to clarify in what is the needle time in terms of the CRC that is here. And also the tribunal. What is happening? Who is between the membership and the collecting society? If the membership does not receive any royalties, where do they go? Do they have a tribunal? They go to magistrate? Where do they go? Because seemingly now, there are a lot of royalties staying somewhere there. And our performers and our artists, they are dying purpose. I don't know what's happening here. Can we be clarified on that regard? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Honourable Member stolen all my questions. There's copyright on that. There's some questions I still have, I want some answers on. Thank you very much for your presentation. It's very thorough. I think you are moving in the right direction. Just the first question, what is the reaction of the current societies, collection societies, to the proposals that you make? Are they fairly happy? Are we going to see some pushback from them? Vested interests and all of those type of things. Just secondly, if you can clarify whether if a collection society is set up for, let's say, mechanical rights, would you allow other societies also to be set up for collection rights, or for mechanical rights? Or would that be an exclusive right then for one? So you would only have one collection society per copyright to be collected. I just want to make sure about that. Then on page 8, the DDG made a statement, last bullet point. Well, the second last one and the last one. The second last one relates to good corporate governance. Can you just clarify what that would mean? Would it be something akin to what we see in a Companies Act? Would that be the type of corporate governance, or the King Code? And would it be compulsory if people who sit in management of collection societies Obviously, that they'll be dealing with other people's money, so there will be a fiduciary relationship from a common law perspective. But would we enact something to make sure that those people are held accountable if they should lose the money somehow? Then the last point there, I just want to clarify whether I understand correctly what you're saying there. It says, when collecting societies act as agents for copyright holders, it is proposed that the rights of copyright holders remain with them. So I suppose you mean that the rights of the copyright holders, those copyright holders will be the original copyright holders. There won't be a transfer of copyright to the collection society as such. I just want to clarify that because it could be misread in that way. Then just two more questions. On the Beijing Treaty, can you just clarify what those four economic points are of the Beijing Treaty on visual performances? Bringing this into the Copyright Act will formalize a situation where a lot of actors have had problems with them, you know, of reruns of programs being shown and resold, and they're not getting any benefit of that. And there's been a fight for that for years. Now, I know the broadcasters have resisted this. The SABC have tried to help here and there. DSTV, Mnet are completely against it. I don't know what ETV's position is, Starsat. If you could just clarify, just give us an idea what their positions are and how they propose to resolve this problem, so that you find if you can find a balanced approach between not killing the broadcaster but giving what's due to the actors, because that's always been the problem. And then lastly, just on the reciprocal agreements internationally, we signed the Berne Convention on copyright, and that compels us to treat foreign copyright holders with the same degree of respect and rights than South Africans, and vice versa. If we don't embark or if we don't engage in agreements with their collection societies, how do they collect their artists' money when we play it on our televisions and radios and so forth? So that at least we still remain in compliance with our Berne Convention obligations. That's all for now. Thank you.
I think you are ready now.
Thank you, Chair. We will address the questions jointly with my colleague here, if it pleases the members.
No, it's fine.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity. I think most of the questions here are the same. So if I skip some of the questions, I think my colleague will just cover them up. I'll start with the first questions relating to membership being optional. Basically, collective management, it kind of tries to organize the nature of the business of collecting for the works, because it tends to be difficult for individual members to go around licensing users. But as far as our law is concerned, they are not compelled. But for them to join collective management organization, it assists in maximizing the collection of the royalty and so on and so forth. So it's not a question of them being forced to receive their money through CMO in terms of our the second question, I think it related to which areas should be included for collective management. Basically, the Copyright Act provides for 9 works, different works. It's a question of usage, who uses these works, because they are used in different ways in different platforms. So, like I said, collective management tends to organize the licensing and the collection of of royalties for the usage. So the intention is to extend it to all the rights that are provided in terms of the Copyright Act. It is not restricted to certain works only. It's all the works that are being consumed, exploited commercially. So it's best if there is a CMO that licenses users, collects, and distributes. I think the third question related to what should be monitored rare usage between foreign or local works. Basically, when it relates to music, we're talking about the work itself. If a song is being played and the number of times that it's being played, it's always important that we recognize that there are certain artists which are more used than others. So when we collect, when they collect the money, it's fair that those who are being, their work is being used, they receive the amount that relates to the amount of time the work has been used. So monitoring it in general, it has to be monitored, whether it's international or local. That the data that will be collected should be, and as far as our law is concerned, it's provided also in the regulations that the distribution should be based on actual use. So it is important that all the works are being monitored in order to have a fair distribution. The second part of the questions, I think most of them are almost the same. If I can just go through them so that when I answer them, I don't skip any of them. I think the first one was, what was the sense in relation to one collecting society? And then which collecting societies are there? What should be required for membership, period of distribution, and so forth? I'll start with the first one. I think the sense right now, when it relates to one collecting society for one right, it's still a new setup that is being introduced, and most of the collecting, so-called collecting societies that are in existence are not regulated. Our law only regulates collecting societies on sound recordings. It's one of the works, in excepting the other 8 works that are out there. But we have associations like your RISAS, your CAPASO. They deal with RISAS, basically it deals with also audiovisuals. They do collect for their members for audiovisuals. They also collect again for sound recording. They are a member of the collective, so that Sampara. There is only one collecting society, two collecting societies that have been accredited, and they are Sambra and Imbra. Both of them are being accredited as representing both owners and performers. It's a long history. We can get into it if we have more questions. But basically, over the period, Sambra was accredited to represent only owners in the sense of music companies, not necessarily performers. By law, they are given a right to share when the owner collects on behalf for needle time. So currently we only have Imbra and Sambra that are accredited, that are being supervised by the DTI, the CIPC.
Okay, while you are there, also explain needle time before you move on.
Okay, needle time, it's not necessarily a legal term. We are actually dealing with public performance rights. What it means is that Section 9A was amended in 2002 to include a right to receive a royalty when the music is being used. So that is basically needle time. This right is a right that is given to two beneficiaries, which is the sound recording owner, which normally is your record company, and the performer. Now this right, when you receive the royalty for needle time, is subject to sharing between the record company and the performer. So
section, the nature of the rights that are given under the Copyright Act is that the owner is given a monopoly to prohibit and allow certain acts. However, the Section 9A, it gives a compulsory license and a right to receive royalty on the usage. A compulsory license in the sense that any user who uses music can use it subject to the payment of a royalty. So the owner from the Section 9 right, they don't have that exclusive right to prohibit the use of the sound recording, because the law gives the beneficiaries a right to receive a royalty when they use it. So I don't know if the middle time.
Maybe let me just try to be very, very practical and try to avoid legislative terminology. I'm not that old, but if we can go back to the olden days, we used to have what you call a phonogram. When you play that phonogram, there used to be that nature. So the terminology or this industry term emanated from those years to say, when this phonogram is playing, there is that nature, and the time that nature spends on playing that phonogram, then the industry started to say, let's associate the phonogram usage with nature time. So in modern days, it's just a mere sound recording usage. And in 2002, Parliament amended the Copyright Act to introduce collective management of rights in that area, and CIPC was then mandated to supervise those collecting societies. When I look at some of the questions that have been raised by members, I start to think about something that I was discussing with my colleague just prior to this meeting to say, we need to revisit what is supervision. Because you cannot have a situation whereby, in terms of the regulation, collecting societies, let's say they want to employ 3 people. What they have to do, they have to employ and notify CIPC within 3 months. 30 days, not 3 months. So effectively, you are not supervising because they have already employed those people. Instead of them asking a permission from CIPC to say, we want to employ 3 people, then our reaction will be, how does that impact the members? And we can even escalate that issue to say, let there be a meeting of members to decide through votes whether they buy into that. For instance, we have seen collecting societies buying buildings not involving the right holders. But they can do that and advise CIPC after 30 days or within 30 days. So it's not a supervision. So through legislation, I think we can just get into that situation and try to put more authority on the supervisor. Then just on the issue of local usage and international usage, insofar as local usage is concerned, I've already tried to explain what we can do. But insofar as international usage is concerned, the right mechanism there is reciprocal arrangements with other collecting societies to say, collect on behalf of my members in your jurisdiction, I'll do the same here. So that is a mechanism for international usage. Because we cannot go to Britain and employ somebody there and say, check whether my music is played. But we can use the reciprocal arrangement as a mechanism. Then, my colleague talked about the rights that are protected in the Copyright Act. You have computer programs, you have broadcasts. Others, they do not require collective management of rights. It's only musical works, sound recording, and maybe artistic works going forward, but not for now, because that area of artistic works has not matured to a level whereby somebody can use your artistic work without your knowledge. Collective management are designed to assist right holders to monitor the usage of their works where they cannot. But it does not take away their right from licensing whoever who wants to use their work. It's just an added mechanism, because it's not practically possible to find out how many times Metro FM has played your song. So you use collecting societies as vehicle to do that on your behalf, and they can license SAPC. I think we are on the question of, is there a tribunal that is dealing with royalty dispute? Currently, we have a copyright tribunal. Copyright tribunal is a sitting of a high court judge who is appointed by the judge president of the high court to sit as a commissioner of the copyright tribunal to deal with matters arising from tariffs and compulsory licenses. So we act as a registrar in that regard. We just open a file, we allow the parties to exchange pleadings. When the file is closed, we take it to the judge, and then a date is determined. And then, okay.
I think, just to add on the tribunal issues, for this royalty, the Act provides that the user, being your SABC or the retailer, the owner and the performer, if there's a dispute around the royalty itself, whether how much it should be or how much they should share, the Act provides that they can approach the tribunal or arbitration to decide on that one. But currently, the Act provides for that. It's just that it's not within the CIPC's mandate to facilitate that. The beneficiaries themselves are given that right to approach the tribunal for determination of disputes around this royalty that is given under this Act.
Are you done?
No, I think the other one is it relates to the engagement that we had with Collection Society around some of the views that we have shared with the members. You see, people in business, their position do change through time. During the CRC, they made their positions, but now when they were invited by Parliament to comment on Copyright Amendment Bill, their positions varied. So we are dealing with a sector that decide when to agree and not to agree. So as policymakers, sometimes we just have to enter the fray and stabilize things. Because I know for a fact that during the CRC, the collecting societies were in agreement with us that foreign repertoire, such as the one emanating from the United States, should not be paid. But now they have changed. So we just have to be mindful of this changing of positions by the industry. The issue of good governance in the collecting societies. Collecting societies are agents, they are not the right holders. The members should run the collecting society. They should have a final say, because whoever is put in position as the CEO, chairperson of a collecting society, is just acting in a fiduciary position. They should be able to put that person in and fire him on allegations or basis of mismanagement of the business affairs and other misconduct. Because these collecting societies should be non-profit organizations. They should be run by members. So that is why I will go back to the issue of supervision to say, if the legislation is very clear to say, before you do something, please make a request to CIPC. We can then subject some of the requests to the members so that they can vote and take a decision around some of the issues because it is their organization. So sometimes we do explain things to them, but they will change position because today they are appearing before the subcommittee or parliamentary portfolio committee, they change positions. The rights that are advocated in the Beijing Treaty, I always view Beijing Treaty as a replica of YPPT. YPPT is WIPO Performance and Phonograms Treaty for sound recording. I just see that as a replica because there is just an opportunity to give actors an opportunity to earn royalty by statute if we indeed craft a national instrument which will be responding to Beijing. It's about economic rights that are given to the actors so that they can have a royalty that is directly emanating from a statute. Then the issue of Bern Convention, I think we need to separate between protecting foreign works vis-a-vis coming up with reciprocal agreements because it's not one and the same thing. We have a duty to protect nationals of other countries when they produce works in South Africa. But coming up with a reciprocal arrangement is something else. Have I left anything? The impact of collecting societies against each other when they're in business. These are different revenue streams. If you are a composer, you will earn royalty in a revenue that benefit composers. So will be performers and owners of sound recording. It depends whether the consumers out there prefer to use sound recording or a revenue of mechanical rights. So it depends how the market behaves. And I don't think we have done a study to say maybe the use of mechanical rights is more than sound recording. We haven't done study in that regard. But if it's something that the subcommittee feel it should be done, we can engage our principals and see whether we can do that. But it's how the market behaves and can change from year to year. With the current technological evolution, maybe sound recording might be overtaking other revenue streams. I don't know. We do have collecting societies that are regulated and those that are not regulated. Like, for instance, SAMRO is an old collecting society. I think it was formed in the middle 60s by a family. Then, through time, it became a members collecting society. But we do not regulate SAMRO. So it is the members who should, at any given point, if they are aggrieved with the management structure of some, they are the ones who can invoke internal remedies using the Companies Act. We only regulate collecting societies in sound recording, which my colleague alluded to say it's SAMPRA and IMPRA. They are two collecting societies per right, and there are already problems there because we have been advised that SABC is ready to pay. But the challenge there is, because these people, they have dual membership. Some, they will be belonging to two different record labels. That is why this issue of having one collecting society per right is meant to address these practical challenges. And that's how the industry behaves. I don't think there is nothing much that we can do in terms of saying you must not sign with two record labels at the same time, because we will be restricting them. But I think one collecting society per right will deal with some of the practical challenges that we have observed through time.
DDG. Why is that still thinking? If they've left something, okay. DDG and your team, they will assist you also. Not DDG alone, everyone must assist.
In terms of extending the CRC beyond the music, according to the recommendations, the focus was on the music industry. But because of the challenges with the, what the artists and the actors and actresses are experiencing, we also think that they must, we also think that they should also be given consideration. In terms of the basis based on the report itself, it's something else, but I think they have many challenges. You know the time when the Generations actresses and actors were complaining about their own royalties, and so there are issues there as well that I think are, they've got commonalities. They may not be having the format of the model of the collecting societies per se, but I think it's something that the subcommittee can look into in terms of how then do we also take them into account. I know they work on with contracts and they work around contractual arrangements, but we can look into that as well to see how we can also make things work for them. In our response to the subcommittee, we did mention them and to say that one of the things we are considering to do is to work on a template of a contract just to make things easier for them, because I think they're struggling in terms of how to formalize their activities. And Honorable Albert, on the good corporate governance, I think my colleague has already responded, but what we want to do is to make sure that we align to the good codes of good corporate governance and align this with the Companies Act. So we will tighten these areas to make sure that there is that full accountability, especially around the fiduciary duties. And when you talk about funding and people's membership monies, and it requires that this become aligned to the key legislation. I mean, right now, as we are speaking today, there was a finance committee was looking at the Steinhoff matter. Corporate governance is a big issue in the country, and it has, it's also impacting on how investors are looking at us in the economy. So I think this is one area that requires that. It will also take care of some of these tensions that the societies are having amongst themselves, because it will kind of create those barriers or the dividing lines in terms of who should be doing what and how it should be done. And then the point you raised around the interpretation of the last bullet point, I think here we are talking about the right holders. And as he has explained, it's about them, not the collecting societies. They are representing. So they should retain their rights, meaning that there should not be a violation of their rights. And I will allow my colleagues to add in. I think the point that I would like to be strengthened is around the Beijing Treaty, Mr. Andrew, in terms of the economic issues there that were highlighted. And then other colleagues can chip in as well on the others. I think the CIPC colleagues responded to most of them, so just to chip in on those few. Thank you.
I mean, everyone who talks here in my meeting, women talk.
Thank you, DDG. Just to give some background, and you are quite correct, Honorable Albert, is that the broadcasters are going to give a lot of kickback on the Beijing Treaty. because currently, and I think you'd remember from public hearings, it was quite shocking, and we need to just distinguish the actor for a moment from the musician. They are not copyright owners in terms of a Copyright Act at all, where the musician does own his copyright. So the current situation is, if I'm an actor and I walk into the broadcaster's office to sign a contract, they force you. It's either take it because you want to become, you know, popular or you want to have work, or you leave it, and they tell you that you are not the owner of any intellectual property. So we also had distributed the agreements itself because, number one, they were signing away all forms of intellectual property, not limited to copyright, in perpetuity. So that's what that's what's happening with the actor. So currently they only have two rights, they're not even royalties, it's just a right. It's the repeat fee, so when Isidingo plays over and over, whether it's on SABC 3 or the SABC Encore, which is a big DSTV channel, it's a big problem. The actor's supposed to get some sort of fee or a royalty. Now Beijing will address that. It will give them the right of reproduction like in the musicians have, like WBBT, but every time that work is recycled, the actor goes into the value chain, where currently it's you're in or you're out. Another right they have is called commercial exploitation, and this is when we sell our TV shows to other countries. So if I sell Generations to Brazil, the actor is supposed to get a cut in terms of his contract. This isn't happening. So the Beijing brings in the distribution right. Every time the audiovisual work is sold, the actors get a portion. So that's two rights covered, the existing ones which will be strengthened, because right now we have one gentleman, and we all know him, I hope. He's from Binnenlanders, Hans Stradom. He's been around in the industry for a very long time, and he's the only person who knows who to go to at the SABC to ask for your repeat fees. Nobody else knows this. Also, the SABC and other broadcasters, I'm sure, they don't capture the data as well. They were literally at a stage having to watch each show to see who screened in at what episode. And also with new people coming in and people leaving, they don't have the appropriate structures. And there is technology available to record what is happening on your list, what shows you're showing. Another right, it may seem old-fashioned, but not actually, it's the right of rental. There are still some DVD stores going, so if your movie is in, or a movie or a series is in the DVD shop, the actor's supposed to get something. But if you think about what DSTV does, you can sit in the comfort of your own couch and you can actually rent a movie from DSTV. The actor is again left out of a very powerful income stream because right now we're going digital with everything. So you have the right of rental. The last one is making available. This is very important because of Netflix and the other Showmax and whatever. It's streaming. It covers streaming. We all want to watch series. We all want to watch, and it's local content. You know, if there's a South African movie that happens to be on Netflix, the actor, again, must, because it is a income stream for the broadcaster, and we're not saying in this industry go 50-50 because we understand the model is different, but we're saying consider your actor. Don't say because you are not a copyright owner, this is the neighboring right, and that's what the Performance Protection Amendment Bill is. It's the related rights given to the other other creators who are not the core in the copyright, so to speak. So we're saying, let's bring in, let's accede to that treaty because it will streamline the two that are existing and it will give you the additional two. And the other thing about the actor, which the musician has and the actor doesn't have, is the moral rights. Moral rights are entrenched in the current Copyright Act, but today the actors complain that their images can be used and distorted without their permission. And many of our actors who have also passed on, their images pop out or change, and families have no right of recourse. So through the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, we'll be giving the actors and audiovisual performers, that's the other thing, it's not limited to actors, any audiovisual performance, something you can hear, something you can see on stage. How many stage, you know, if Cats shows, for example, at Monte Cassino, it could be recorded, it could be sold on a DVD, it could be made available on the internet. And then, you know, you've got that performer who's only maybe in theater also left out. So that's what Beijing is trying to encapsulate in what's the Performance Protection Amendment Bill. So these four rights are not in the Copyright Bill, just to clarify, it's in the other bill that we will be working on in the future. So I hope that clarifies. And then just to touch on your other example, and I think Cardi did bring it in, when you have two collecting societies, if we have only two collecting for mechanical rights, the problem is they start taking each other to court because now it's time to distribute, and it happens on the point of when the distribution must occur. Then all of a sudden there's a court case, and the one on the needle time was dragged out until 2014 because you had the two collecting societies fighting. The court, not really suitable to understand copyright issues. I mean, it started at the first court of instance at a 10% tariff of what should be distributed. Supreme Court of Appeal brought it down to 3, which is the lowest in the world. So now you've got a court judgment, and then you've got the broadcaster who will tell you, okay, now there's a court judgment. Your regulations came in from 2006, but the court of judgment with the actual rate is 2014. I'm not going to pay back since the regulations. I'm only going to pay for needle time from the date of the court judgment. So then you've got the gap from 2006 to 2014 and 2014 onwards. So it's that conflict we want to also, because it's not healthy competition that's taking place, and it's affecting the artists. So to have a strengthened and more streamlined process, you know, Capasso collects for your mechanical rights only, and which is important, because it's something we all have to think of. You know, it's not only the collecting society and the broadcaster you're going to have to tackle. There's the big telcos that are also hanging at the background, you know, ringtones. It's a mechanical right. And it needs to be collected and distributed. So right now they will come and tell you as Vodacom or MTN, and there's a big case against MTN. I'm not part of the legislation, like the broadcaster. So it's monopolies. That's what intellectual property does. It, you know, creates the monopoly, and we have to then balance that. And that's the problem with the tribunal, as you've heard. Many don't have access to it. Because
yeah,
if it's not...
About your
yeah. No, I know you want to go. So I just clarity, because we don't often get the opportunity in a smaller group to just hash out these other issues. And I just want to go back to one question of Honourable Member Kachalia, spreading it across the entire sector. There as well, the authors that you mentioned. Authors are not actually receiving their royalties currently. Everything is going to the publisher, and the reason for that is that there is an agency. It's DALRO. There's only one in the country, but they claim to fall outside of all collective management rules because they don't consider themselves a collective agency. You know,
the publisher
is on to you. Yeah. Well, I mean, DALRO is supposed to be as a SAMRO. They are collecting, but they're passing everything on to the publisher and nothing to the author, especially academic authors in our country are not, they will tell you, they don't get any royalties. So they found small loopholes in the 1978 Act as amended in 2002 to escape a collective management form. So we're saying where it is in existence, let's just extend that scope of managing or regulating this industry as you would regulate liquor or lotteries. Also just look at certain sectors within the IP copyright field domain to regulate, just to ensure that royalties are paid to every creator and not just a select few.
Thanks. Sorry to be seen to be talking. Maybe let me just say from a corporate justice perspective, a constitutional imperative but also a human rights angle, to say the beauty with what we are doing is that we're trying to ensure that we have a progressive legislation. And among others, what we are trying to do is to ensure that the right to human dignity, the right to equality of performers and artists are taken care of. And obviously we envisage that... once the legislation is enacted, there will be a flooding of collecting society wanting to be accredited, and also registered with the CIPC. And for purposes of governance, it will be important for CIPC, for purposes also of operational management, to develop a criteria within which you'll register collecting societies and also get them accountable. For instance, among others, to ensure that the royalty fees are properly distributed and also on time. At some point you're talking about it's important that we have a prescription of a zero balance for you to can get accredited or rather to re-register. That should be, you know, and properly taken care of from operational perspective. You look at the collective society and you ask them, have you actually satisfy all the requirements that we have put in place? Have you distributed to which, what you call now, set of owners have you distributed? I think that would be very, very critical so that we don't find ourselves running the risk that we are already running now, trying to work on swift gains, quick wins on
on how do we ensure that the royalties that we have are properly distributed and also on time, because we've already seen that most of our performance artists, they die, you know, in a very proper state. So it will be very important for CIPC to brand itself properly so that the collecting society that will be flooding your gates, they are also properly assessed before they are registered and also before they are accredited. Because the whole notion that we are carrying as drafters and also ensuring that there's progressive legislative outcome, we are also saying performers, artists, they should be able to have a quality livelihood and take charge of their own development. Thank you.
I know we have been activated, but we need to close. This was the first meeting, and I would recommend that we meet on the 18th April. Because there are a lot of things that you need to come back to the committee, subcommittee, and present. There are lots of questions that have been asked, and also we need to get a list of those societies who are regulated and non-regulated. You come with information now to say this is the situation as it is in South Africa. I don't think it will be that much difficult. And you are also saying the committee, you are advising the subcommittee to also to gauge from the other collecting society so that we don't tamper with the administration. I think I've saw one of them on the slides there. So also you guys give us those list of collecting societies that we need to engage so that we don't find ourselves, as she is talking, to say yourself in the criteria that should be for those people when they come, because now we cannot put system in place, then the next thing you're not ready. Then we'll find ourselves with a serious problem again to say, what is it that we're doing? So we're doing this for everybody, not concentrating on one music. This is an amendment, and the amendment must involve everybody. So I'll request that for today, it was a lot of information, and you have a lot of work to do. So, DG, you have to make sure that you come with all the information. Also, Margo will write you a letter and on additional information that the members will require from you and the CIPC. So, Margo will be consulting the members of the subcommittee. Then you will receive a detailed letter on which part. And we have our legal advisor here. Everyone is on board. And there's before one of our members leave, there is a confirmation that members need to confirm with Tender whether on the 17th we're visiting the film industry. So you might need to confirm also with Tender so that you confirm with the film industry. Did you?
Regarding the letter that we wrote, I know this is not the platform for that. There are certain quick wins that we mentioned. I just wanted to be on the safe side, just to know, should we start doing certain things or should we wait to get a go-ahead from the committee?
I think those ones, it's a letter you'll return to, we'll respond to the letter. And there are logistics. Today we were not ready to deal with the letter and it's not here with us. And that's why I said on the 18th. But there are those administrative logistics of the department that you said you'll be busy doing it. The DG, we agreed with the DG. This one, you can touch on this one because those are administrative processes. We cannot tamper and find ourselves interfering. We will need a report on those ones. So say when you come on the 18th, this is what the quick wins you have outlined to members. We needed a report to say this is what, according to the CRC Commission, we have implemented this. This thing of talking, it's not going to assist.
Chairperson, thank you, man. I think in a nutshell, you have read my mind. I wanted to give our colleagues an opportunity to go to the IPC and retrieve the information of all those registered with them, because we cannot have even an NPO is registered. But you cannot hold the royalties, man, of people while we are not registered anywhere. You cannot be found anywhere. So you check them as to, and they are with the IPC, and we get that report. And we must understand as to these people are from the RSA or from outside, so that we know exactly in terms of their status, their BE, and they are from around. And also, you clarify us in terms of the SARAL and the POSA, because somewhere the drafters of this presentation, they are not so sure whether this POSA is still a functional collective society. So you it's improper for one to come here and present something that you are not even sure of. I think it's not correct for them. And check for all these CAPASO stuff, because if they are not registered with CIPC, they must not form part of this report, because you need people that can be regulated and be followed up to into monies of the masses. Because if you say, when we are a collecting society, just collect, you know, no one knows you are not registered anyway. I think somehow it's a challenge. But I'm happy the manner in which the chairperson has concluded the matter. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's fine. There are logistic things, administrative processes that I won't tamper into. The letter states clearly, and we have said this is what I've spoken to Margo, then she will brief you on what is it that you should do, what is it that you should not do, and on the quick wins. So we'll get the report on the next meeting. And, okay, I'll stop that.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to, if I'm allowed, ask a follow-up question to the various presenters, because they've said something very important in regards to actors, you know, that don't have rights now. I used to be MNET's head of legal affairs, so I know exactly what's going on. What's to stop a broadcaster, so even if we have the Beijing rights, what's to stop a broadcaster from saying, well, if you're going to get this role, you can only get this role if you sign our standard agreement. You know, it's like the standard contract you sign with cell phone companies. You can't negotiate this contract. So if there's no negotiation, we have the power, and in that contract, even though there's a right to royalties, you must waive that right. Will we put something in place that will disallow the waiving of the right? And that includes also Section 20 regarding moral rights. The question has always been, can you waive your moral rights? I don't think there's legal certainty. I see you're shaking your head. But we've never had I've never seen a court case that gave us legal certainty. The Act doesn't say so. So I just want to say we must tighten those things so that the ones who have the power cannot come and say, okay, the law says this, but you can waive your rights, so just sign it away. That's something we must also think of. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm acting chairperson. Any response to the question?
Thank you. Okay, so what's happened in that situation, because it was seen as so crucial, there was a task team set up of deputy ministers headed by Buti Manamela, and what he already started to do, there have been three negotiated contracts. The contracts are being completely reworked. ETV has got buy-in because we did look at just basic contractual law. Can you lodge a dispute, your dates of payment, all those things you've mentioned, and the waiver. So that is being currently negotiated. ETV's come to the table as well as SABC. It's just DSTV. So there will be three contracts with a set of standards. Don't drop below that. And it will be suited to each broadcaster. So that's currently being done with the industry. So it's not just like the DMs and everybody. So it's industry working, any associations, and the broadcaster. So there has been buy-in there, because the problem was that intellectual property clause that is being reworked. So at least that's something positive. It's not dependent on the legislation. But I think when we do look at that bill, we can tighten up with the 2 points that you've made, by all means, just to strengthen the situation even further.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I'm not so sure the advisor to the chair, Comrade Margot.
because we have slightly agreed in terms of the meeting, but there's no allocated time. We're not so sure what time I'm going to meet on the 18th, and also the venues and stuff. But over to you, Chairperson. Just the closing remarks, then we're off.
Happy Easter. Go and enjoy yourself, spend some time with your family. This will be a long road. The CIPC next meeting will be called because we didn't finish yet. You come with those people that were requested, and you'll be visiting us frequently. This is how system works. So until we're done, then, DDG?
I wanted to suggest, if it's allowed, that I think given the practical nature of the work that the CIPC does, that we consider making them part of the team in terms of joining us when we discuss issues around the royalties, musicians, given the role that they play. But it's something that, if allowed, we'll take it back to the commissioner for him to give them that allowance to be part of the continuous journey.
Yeah, that's why I said the next meeting. So from there, the logistics, the DG and the DDG will deal with it. But what we know is just next meeting, they need to be here because there are outstanding issues that they need to answer and also to come up with the list. Basically, they will form part of the team because going to the mother committee, we need to go there speaking one language, even if we, there we will have some difference, because we, at the end of the day, the team here, the members of the parliament will tell you what is it that you want. Now we are getting information, you are equipping us so that we are able to legislate and to come up with a good copyright at the end of the day. So I think we are in the right track, and I didn't want us to have this lot of information, but we now I think we are clear. We have a starting point, we have something to report on the PC, and we will get the guidance from the PC to say where to from now. But next meeting continues. If they say you are going straight to PC, you'll go straight to PC. Yeah, thanks. Happy Easter, eh?
Thank you.
I love you, all of you. And I want all of you to be back on the 17th.
They were the fourth one.
Tomorrow or not?
I was hoping that.
Oh, you can.